Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth, Guadalupe Radio Network. I'm Dave Palmer, and this is one of my favorite things that I do all week. I love the live show. There's something cool about live radio, because if you make a mistake, you can't edit it out, you know, and Cecil Anderson is running the board. And do you remember the days, Cecil, when I used to kind of like ask you little trivia questions and all that?
Is that an interlude to that we're bringing those days back?
No, the reason is that tomorrow morning I'm going to be on Morning Joy and I do my little Thinking Out Loud segment. And Tim Mott reminded me of something that tomorrow is that I totally forgot. So I was going to ask you, today is the eve of a special feast day that means something particularly to me. It's the feast day of St. Thomas Aquinas. I totally forgot about that.
Because his feast day was moved, because there is another day.
March 7th.
Yeah. Yes.
That's more the traditional one.
Yeah, gotcha.
Then they moved it to January 28th.
Super cool.
Yeah. So cool. And I'm so excited about the program today, because I have two sets of wonderful ladies who are going to be my interviewees. And one of them has their daughter with her. And so I'll tell you who's going to be on. In the second half of the show, we are going to talk about whole life authentic care. And if you're not familiar with whole life authentic care, this is a real blessing, not only to the Fort Worth Diocese, but to the entire North Texas area. And the president and founder of whole life authentic care, Nicole Haverla, is in, along with her development director, Kara Moan, and they will be in a studio in the second half. And the first half of the program here in a few minutes, I'm going to I can't believe I've been doing this for 18 years and I'm just now having this interview, but I was over in Mary Immaculate Parish a couple of weeks ago doing our car raffle sales, and Deacon David Doucet's wife, Marie, and I got to talking, and I don't know who suggested it, but one of us said, you know what, I think Marie, you probably suggested it. Have you ever thought of doing a show about what it's like to be a deacon's wife? And I said, you know what? That's a great idea. I never thought about that. And let's do it if you can put it together. And so Marie Doucet is here, and Deacon David has been a deacon for about 5 years. And so they're relatively new at this. But she brought one of her more seasoned friends, whose name is Sherry Kilgo. And her husband, Deacon Corey Kilgo, has been a deacon for about 23 years at St. Anne's Parish in Qu'Appelle. And so they both are here. And you ever just thought, like, what is it like to be a deacon's wife? Well, you're going to find out during this interview, the discernment process and just the work-life balance. And, do deacons get paid? Or, most all of them are volunteers. And just kind of those kind of things. And so I'm really excited about this conversation we're going to have in just a moment. Before that, it's January, so we talk car raffle, right?
Yes, indeed.
And Cecil and I had an opportunity over the weekend to visit the same parish. Cecil went on Saturday. I went on Sunday. Father Ronaldo Mercado is an extremely supportive priest, and he's the pastor of St. Joseph Parish in Arlington. And when we contact parishes and say, hey, can we come and promote the car raffle? Well, Deacon Ronaldo said, yeah, you can come. And then the next two weekends, you can set up a table. And so we're going to be there 3 weekends in a row. But we both visited St. Joseph's in Arlington over the weekend.
We did.
So thanks to Father Ronaldo. And what was your takeaway or your experience?
I always enjoy visiting St. Joseph's. Again, they're such a supportive parish, and they just seem to have a lot going on. They just have a lot of vibrancy, so it's always fun to be able to kind of catch in. They had one of their little students from St. Joseph Catholic School, which is awesome because, it's Catholic Schools Week, so it was fun to be able to share time with them, and I was able to say, like, hey, we love to support our Catholic schools as well, so, please support all the Catholic organizations.
Yeah. It was funny because last Monday, we were doing a lot about Catholic schools.
Yes, we were doing the pre-Catholic school weeks.
That's right. Yeah, we were a week ahead of ourselves. So, so happy Catholic Schools Week. I'm a product of Catholic school education. I went to St. Patrick's School in Dallas from 4th to 8th grade, Jesuit high school. And so I think it was a good experience for me, that's for sure. And also St. Anne's Parish in Kaufman, we were there as well. I know Tom was at several parishes in the Fort Worth Diocese. Of course, St. Joseph is in the Fort Worth Diocese. St. Anne's is in Dallas. And so we thank to all the pastors who allowed us to come in. And this coming weekend, University of Dallas, Chapel of the Incarnation, Sacred Heart Parish in Munster. And Munster is such a unique city. That is such a unique city, you know, so Germanic. And it's like 80% of the city is Catholic. I mean, how many cities these days can say that? So we're happy to go out there. And let's see. And St. Peter the Apostle Parish in Dallas over on Woodall Rogers, Polish population. Yes. They have a large African-American population there. It's a very eclectic parish. And so pretty cool. And then finally, we have two live remotes this week. Wednesday during the noon hour, we're going to be at Mid-Cities Dental. That is Dr. Kyle Eberlein and his wife Martha. And I saw on Facebook he turned 60 the other day. I don't think it's any big secret because they posted it all over Facebook. So happy birthday to Dr. Kyle Eberlein. And they always have food and gift cards and all kinds of stuff. And we're right there in the dental office. And so Wednesday during the noon hour. And then Thursday morning, I don't know if many people are familiar with the Lucid office and what's going on over there. There's a building here in Irving where two of the floors are owned by Flip Howard and Lucid, and they're like these little work suite kind of buildings, and a whole bunch of Catholic small businesses have gone over there, kind of anchored by Jeff Scheffelbein and Undivided Life. But it's like a little Catholic Mecca, and it's just amazing to go there because you see everybody. You know, you see Young Catholic Professionals, and you see Heroic Media, and you see, Project Finding Calcutta. And it's just everywhere you look, there's some Catholic apostle, and they're all together on these two floors. And it's really cool. So we're going to be over there on Thursday morning from 9 to 11. And I don't think we're going to run out of people to talk to because there's so many. And they won't have to go far because we're going to go to them. And, of course, during these live broadcasts, we'll be selling raffle tickets as well. So that's all I have as far as introductory info. Anything else that's on your mind?
No, but just in light of Catholic Schools Week, I was going to mention that I'm going to be going out to St. Mark Catholic School in Plano today because they're doing a kind of cool event with some of their alumni. And they're going to have some of their alumni speak, kind of talking about like how, you know, what their days at St. Mark kind of got them into the careers they are and helped inspire them and build their character as Catholics. So I'm excited to go and hear from them and possibly do some interviews as well.
All right. Very good. So, yeah, we'll be busy. I'm actually, after the show, going off to a funeral. So our dear friend Betsy Raffetto passed away on January 3rd, and her funeral is today at St. Elizabeth and Seton Parish in Keller. So please pray for the repose of her soul. All right. So this is the Good News Show, and let's get right into our first conversation. And this is, what is it like to be the wife of a deacon? And as I mentioned before, Marie Doucet is the wife of Deacon David Doucet, who's been a deacon for almost 5 years at Mary Immaculate Parish in Farmers Branch. Mm-hmm. And also Sherry Kilgo from St. Anne's Parish in Capel. Deacon Corey Kilgo, her husband, 23 years this summer, a deacon. So it's neat that we have two different situations. Marie and David have one adopted daughter who is here with us, Benny, and she's 20 years old, and she's from the Ivory Coast. And Sherry and her husband have two children who, interestingly, were born while they were in formation in discernment for the diaconate. So how interesting that must have been. So welcome to you both. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. So, Marie, let's start off. I want to ask both of you just about the origins of this. When did it first kind of hit the radar screen with you and David that, you know, this might be something that the Lord is calling him to?
Well, shortly after we were married, we started talking that there was something that he felt called to do. And so in individual prayer, we both had kind of come to that conclusion, however, that he was called to serve like a deacon. But I kept it to myself because I believe fully that this is a true, it's got to be a calling for that man.
Yeah.
And because I don't want to push him. So I held off until he brought it up. And then I jumped on board and said, hey, I'm right there behind you. If that's what you want to do, I'm right behind you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it kind of started off like that. But that was just the first step, because then you have to go through the formal discernment process.
Yeah, so. Right. And it's interesting in both of your cases. Well, in your case, Marie and David, y'all had only been married for a few years, and you went to like a come and see event, and they were like, I don't think you've been married long enough.
Yeah.
So they're so careful. That's one thing I've really understood about this through the process and talking to y'all, is they don't want anybody starting this who isn't going to
be
successful, and it's they don't want to impact any marriages negatively either, right?
Yeah, right. Because we'd only been married for 3 years, but the calling was very strong. And so we went to the information call, and there was like over 100 couples. And that time period, they could only take 30. And they preferred that people be married at least 5 years. And
mm-hmm.
we weren't quite there. So.
Yeah.
But so we waited, you know, and then so we prayed about it. And then he still had the very strong call. I mean, it was like he couldn't sleep sometimes.
Oh, really?
So
he just felt it.
Yeah, felt it. And so, you know, he was able to get into the next class that was happened to be one that discerned in 2020.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, sure, your husband, Corey, but I know David, and he's just, to me, he looks like a deacon. He seems like he loves it.
He does. It's
like in his blood. It's like you were born to be a deacon. I mean,
yeah, I think so.
And Sherry, your situation is interesting. And as I mentioned in the introduction, is that your husband Corey was about 41, and y'all were having children and going through discernment. That I almost thought that they didn't like it that way. Obviously, it's worked out well 23 years later. But tell us about how he and you received that call.
It was interesting. We're very different than Marie's situation. Corey was a convert. He was raised Baptist.
Really?
He never really thought he would become Catholic. I was quite surprised when he started dating me.
Much less an ordained minister,
yeah,
right?
So he's a convert to the faith. We went through RCIA. At that time, we were at St. Patrick's over in Dallas.
Okay.
And went through RCIA there, and there was a deacon teaching the classes. And he was just really intrigued by that, of somebody that's in the workaday world going to a job every day, but then also having this ministry as an ordained minister.
Hmm.
So it was just something that he was really intrigued by, I'll say. So when we heard that there was a class opening up, he applied. But we were more of a, let's go and see, let's check it out. You know,
mm-hmm.
we weren't like Marie and David had a very different, very strong calling. We were just, let's go check it out and see.
Yeah.
And then it, of course, as Marie said, leads to a long period of discernment. And we had only been married a few years. We also were discerned away the first time. We were told, no, not married long enough. So, but they, the mentor couple who was our couple during that time, we went through like a 4-month course or class or what do they call it? Inquiry stage.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were discerned out, they reached out to us. They said, come help with Engaged Encounter. I mean, just because you're not going to be a deacon does not mean you can't be a minister in the church. Everybody's called a minister. So we start doing Engaged Encounter for several years, and then eventually reapplied, and we had children then during formation. So.
Yeah. Well, I'll come back to that and how that all went over. But let me go back to Marie Doucet here. The process of the diaconate formation is about 6 years, right?
It's about 6 years.
And the wife is involved in a big way. So how tell us about what they ask or request of the wife.
Sure. What they ask is that the wife is required to attend the first year. And it makes sense because it's a lot about balancing the marriage and the mm-hmm. diaconate life. And then they are also requested to attend the formation processes and the retreats that are about annual. The academic courses are optional for the wife.
Yeah. You know?
And for me, I chose to do the academic part with my husband to the point that I also did all the homework and the test and the exams and turned it all in. And it really brought us together during that formation process, you know, and it gave me a very good insight as to what he was going through.
Mm-hmm.
So it made it easier for me to support him during that whole thing. But not all wives will do that. You know, some wives just attended the academic part for the classes they were interested in.
Yeah. And I'm guessing they are keeping a close eye on the wives and the temperament. And because I've even heard of somebody where they said, your wife hasn't been to the classes. I don't know. You know, they kind of get the sense that maybe the wife isn't on board, which leads me to the next question. And Cher, you can answer this one. Is that the wife has to give the green light all the way through, right?
Oh, absolutely.
If at any moment the wife says, I don't think this is working out, it's over for him, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But you're going to know. You're going to have a lot of discussion. There's a lot of discussion among the couple as they go through this process of discernment.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be a surprise. He would also be feeling the same way. And
yeah.
If he's not, there's an issue, but this communication is so important during the process.
So how was it, changing diapers and having children and, that whole thing? Because I always think of deacons as being, a little more seasoned in life and not having babies or even having young children. But was that stressful, or how did those years go for you?
At times they were, but he's called to the diaconate. It was obvious as we went further along into it, but he also is, his first vocation is to me as in marriage and then our family. And so they teach that through the whole diaconate process, right? That it's marriage, family, what your job is, working, because as Marie said, or I think you said in the beginning, that deacons are not paid. So he had a job too, so you have to have all that in balance. And it was a lot of communication for us during it, especially when the kids were little. But I saw my ministry as being behind the scenes. That was my ministry. My ministry was not to go out and lead different things at the parish. Marie was a lot more involved in her parish activities than myself.
Yeah.
Because my ministry was to be at home so that my husband could go through the education and then eventually his ministry when he started into it.
You know, in Catholic radio during car raffle season and sometimes the rest of the year, well, we go on Sundays and we do little, announcements at parishes. But I got to leave the family. I've got to be away. And sometimes that can be a little bit of a strain. Mm-hmm. But is Deacon David gone every weekend?
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
You know, some wives are golf widows. Well, I'm a deacon widow.
But you're busy at the parish also.
I'm busy at the parish also.
Yeah.
He's there Sunday the whole time attending all the masses that they have at Mary Immaculate, all the English ones. But I am involved in other ministries as well. Some of them he can work with me on. Some of them he cannot, and vice versa. I support him on what he's doing, and he supports me. And that formation process that we went through really helped, because before the formation, I was the active one dragging David along, and he would always be very supportive and helpful. And now that role's kind of changed. It's not like he's dragging me. He's more like, but it's different, but it helped me balance that better as to my ministries, his ministries, ones we can do together, and then still have time with our family and with our new daughter.
That's right. And, it's really, a deacon has two vocations.
Correct.
And a priest, obviously he's got the family, he's got his parish, and there's a lot of responsibilities, but he doesn't have a wife to go home to, and he's living a life of celibacy. And so it's a very different vocation. But Marie, you were mentioning about the ordination of diaconate is the exact, pretty much the same for a priest and a deacon. It's just only that it's a transitional diaconate for the priest, right?
There is one ordination for deacons, and I can't speak to the exact differences between a transitional deacon, that's the one who will go on to be a priest, and the permanent deacon, which is what Deacon Corey and Deacon David are. But they all have to go through that before they can go to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
The transitional deacons are only there for about a year, and then they go in, and then they go into being the priest, where the permanent deacons, that's it, they stop.
Yeah.
One main difference between the two is that the permanent deacon does not take the vow of celibacy.
Yeah.
That would kind of damage the marriage.
It certainly would. So, I know you've got your daughter, Benny, here, and I promised her I wouldn't bring her on the show, but Sherry, what would you think that your two children, now in their 20s, would say about, dad being a deacon pretty much their entire lives?
Right,
I mean, they've never known dad when he wasn't a deacon,
right,
or mom as a deacon's wife. But what do they say about that experience?
I think they would just say he's dad. I mean, he's dad, he's a deacon. It's, like you said, this is what they've always known. And I remember when he was in formation and having children, and I was concerned about just everything, and just how all this was going to work. And I remember him saying to me, if I can't do what I feel like God has called me to do, what kind of a father, how am I leading my children if I feel called to this? And he was right. I mean, the kids have grown up with it. They've just have gotten used to it. I don't know. It's just it's our life. It's who we are.
It's how it goes. And Marie, you said something before we started the show that was interesting about Deacon David. His father was a deacon.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
He must have, had a good experience being the son of a deacon. Now he's a deacon.
and to copy what Sherry was saying, from what he's told me, when his dad set a great example for him, because when his dad was at home, he was his dad. And when his dad was a deacon, he was a deacon. And so, but David's never expressed to me anything that he's been shortchanged.
Mm-hmm.
But I did lean on my mother-in-law, Linda, so what is it really like to be a wife of a deacon?
Now, do y'all, the deacon wives have like a little sorority and you all hang out with each other? Or, I don't know. I mean, are your friends tend to be deacon's wives, or is that really not a factor? Not necessarily?
Not really. I mean, we're close. We get to know people. Like, we knew David because they were at St. Anne's, mm-hmm. so we know each other. And one of my really good friends, her husband's a deacon as well. And then we're in the formation class right now helping form the deacons who will be ordained in 2027, and we're getting to know a lot of the wives there and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but we'll have like deacon congresses, and so we'll all once or twice a year, and or the deacon. I'm thinking of the bishop dinner. But we'll see each other a couple times a year, whoever can come within the diocese, and a lot of times the guys are talking, and they're the wives over there talking.
Yeah, what kind of questions do the wives ask you? Do they?
In the formation, right?
Yeah, in the formation.
What it's going to be like? The same concerns that I had going into it. It's just come and see, go through the discernment process, and it gets revealed as you go. Mm-hmm. God reveals things through the discernment process. Like discernment, my husband was pointing out to me that that's Latin from the meaning. It comes from the Latin word of to separate by sifting. Oh. And that's what the whole discernment process is. It's just separating what's valuable from what isn't, and listening to God's call and exploring your motives as you go through formation.
Yeah. So. Any challenges that y'all have encountered as deacons' wives for, almost 5 and 23 years? And anything, that you'd say, we had to kind of work through this or anything?
Yeah, well, things we had to work through, it's like we would sometimes have plans to go do something, like after Mass or after an event, but a parishioner or even a friend would reach out to Deacon David as a deacon for spiritual advice and guidance. Well, and we agree that comes first. So sometimes I may be late to an event or maybe not even able to make it because that person's needs trumped that.
Mm-hmm.
Holidays are a challenge. My family is not, I was the convert out of our couple.
Mm-hmm.
And so my family had a hard time accepting the fact that we weren't going to be there for Christmas anymore because all the clergy is there for that midnight Mass,
Yeah, that's a good consideration.
Told the family we would go at a different time. But those are some of the challenges that we had to look at, is getting the families on board with our schedules. And because I basically share my husband's time with the parish.
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah, you sure do. How about you, Sherry? Any challenges?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. And we just had a few other challenges because of the children being younger. And I gave that up that was my ministry, to be at home taking care of them so Corey could go do what he was called to do.
Yeah.
So.
Now, the big question is, do you all critique the homilies, the sermons? And do they give you like a little run through before they preach? And I guess as part of that, Marie, is that David, I know, has been to the Institute of Homiletics, right?
Yeah,
I think you told me about it. Yeah, tell me about the process of homilies. Do they come to you and say, hey, should I say this? Should I not? Or what?
At first, it wasn't like, The homily was based, it's all David, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing that I do for him in that is to pray for him. And especially if he's indicated that he's struggling that week for his preparation, I'll spend a little bit more time in prayer. But sometimes in the early days, he would bounce an idea, and I would mention an idea of what I translated from it. Sometimes he would use it, and sometimes he would say, "Ah, that's not going to work," you know. But most of his homilies, I mean, all of his homilies are from him, and I rarely know what he's going to say until I listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't repeat it because the way that he prepares, he doesn't write it all down like in a script.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's prayer really helps him because it's the Holy Spirit guides him. You know, he does his preparation work, don't get me wrong, because I can't touch him during those 3 or 4 days prior to. So
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, Sherry? Same thing for us as well. When Corey was first ordained, he would type out his homilies and mm-hmm. I would read them and things. Mm. But he at this point, 23 years almost into this, he, just like Marie was saying, does his homilies. I mean, the Holy Spirit comes to him and he doesn't write it out anymore. And I'll say, "Oh man, I wish he would still write them out because I want to go back and read them sometimes."
Yeah, see the transcripts.
Or he'll say something at one Mass and it wasn't said at another Mass. So it's just the Spirit led.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to ask, I want to just kind of reset here and let everybody know whom I'm talking to, but I want to ask you about the rule that they can't remarry. If y'all were to pass away, they can't remarry. But let me just remind everybody, Marie Doucet is the wife of Deacon David Doucet from Mary Immaculate Parish in Farmers Branch. He's been a deacon for 5 years. And then Sherry Kilgo is the wife of Deacon Corey Kilgo, 23 years this summer, a deacon from St. Anne Parish in Capel. And they have 1 and 2 children, respectively. And Marie and David's daughter, Benny, is here in studio with us. She's adopted from the Ivory Coast. So anyways, why is that? I've always wondered, like, why can you know, if a deacon's wife passes away, why can they not remarry? Do you know the reason behind that?
The reason behind it? Do you know the actual reason?
I
don't know the actual reason.
Yeah.
I can't really say that.
Okay.
But it's probably, I would only be guessing, and I don't want to be putting my foot in the wrong spot. But that is the way that it is. If a deacon's wife does pass away, then he cannot remarry and stay a deacon.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's understood, and that's very clear all the way through the process. In fact, in our class, unfortunately, one of my dear friends did pass away. And so her husband took a year off to grieve like everybody would, and then he rediscerned on his own, and he came in through the next class.
Yeah.
And he took the vow of celibacy and as a deacon, but he's still a deacon, a permanent deacon.
Yeah. I can see also, and just speculating here, is that in y'all's case, you were able to discern with your husbands for 6 years and go through mm-hmm. the process before ordination, whereas this new wife would come in cold. She doesn't get through that process, and it might
that's a really good point.
And maybe they just kind of know from experience that a lot of times this doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know. Anyways, I'm just speculating on what might be the reason. Yeah. But well, we have go ahead, Marie.
I'll just say on that when they start the diaconate process, if they're married then, and then the wife passes away, they still can't get remarried,
mm-hmm.
even if they're not a deacon yet.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Like my friend I was telling you about. Then they have to discern if they still want to be a deacon or not.
Yeah.
And my friend did decide to do that, and he did become a deacon. He came in 2 years later, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I've got a few minutes remaining. I want to just open it up to anything, maybe how you support your husbands. I think, Marie, you've already mentioned about prayer and maybe doing a little critique of their sermons. And I think just the sacrifices that you make, like you talk about holidays, that's support in and of itself. I mean, that's a sacrifice. So there is a lot of sacrifice, I think, involved in being a deacon's wife. But just want to open it up. Anything else y'all would like to say?
I'll make one quick comment. Is that the important thing to know is that the deacon is, he's got his family, you know, his spouse, and if there's children to manage, he has a full-time job in most of the cases.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and the diaconate. Sometimes priests don't understand that extra work that's going on there.
Yeah.
But it's just balancing all that is the biggest challenge, because we don't want to be fair to the parish and help people in need, but we also need to nourish ourselves.
Yeah.
So sometimes we have to step back and be just the two of us,
mm-hmm.
or just the family.
Well, which brings up the thought, you may, obviously preparing the homily has to be done during the week, but mm-hmm. otherwise, are they able to shut it off? I mean, Monday through Friday, they go and do their jobs. They don't have to be at home or go to the church on the weekday nights. Is it pretty much a Sunday thing?
Well, it just depends. For a long time, Corey was still working. He retired at the end of 2022. So now he's more available to go do things during the week. But when he was working 7 to 6, I would more say, he didn't do as much at the church. It was more a weekend thing. Maybe occasionally helping with something during the week. It would depend greatly on our children's activities too, what was going on in the family. So,
yeah, David has several things he does because he teaches classes at the church. He teaches baptism classes, confirmation classes for the adults. He'll go to graveside services, do actual infant baptisms. So he's got more, it's way more than just, it's not just go to mass and then leave. That's just what people see. There's a lot more to the diaconate. And there are other deacons who do far more out there that's not related to not directly at the parish.
Well, I'm so glad we did this interview because I've talked to a lot of deacons. I've interviewed dozens and dozens of them. This is the first time I've ever actually sat down and had a formal interview with deacons' wives. And I think everybody listening has learned a lot. And again, thank you all, you both, for your sacrifice. And Benny, thank you, the daughter of Deacon David and Marie. Thank you for being here. It's great to meet her as well. And just say, everybody, pray for our deacons. Pray for our deacons' wives and their families, because it is a sacrifice, but it's a real labor of love. Mm-hmm. And I know they wouldn't be doing it if they didn't feel called to it. So thanks to you both. Appreciate you being in here.
Thank you for having us. Really appreciate it.
Yes, that was Marie Doucet from Mary Immaculate Parish in Farmers Branch, and also Sherry Kilgo from St. Anne Parish in Capel. And don't go anywhere for a second, because I want to take a picture of y'all sitting here, and I'll put it up on our Facebook page, okay? We're going to take about a 3-minute break now and come back and talk about Whole Life Authentic Care. The president and founder, Nicole Haverla, is here along with her director of development, Kara Moan. And if you haven't heard of Whole Life Authentic Care, you're really going to be in for a treat, because this is a real... it's a blessing for not only the Fort Worth Diocese, but all of North Texas, as I mentioned. So we'll introduce the two of them and talk about Whole Life Authentic Care. And I'll let you know what exactly they're looking for. Two things in particular that they really want you to discern prayerfully about supporting Whole Life Authentic Care. So this is a good news show. We'll be back right after this.
I want you to be prepared for scripture readings each weekend at Holy Mass. Hello, this is Monsignor Charles Pope. Join me each Friday on The Quest as I reflect on the coming gospel and review important headlines affecting the church and the world. That's The Quest, 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Guadalupe Radio Network and the free Guadalupe Radio app. You can also find The Quest on YouTube, Rumble, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and X.
Faith and charity are key elements of life, but are they at the center of your financial decisions? With the Knights of Columbus, you can pursue financial stability, but more importantly, you can do so in a way that is compatible with the Catholic teaching. For more than 140 years, they have helped families guard their financial future. Today, they have expanded their offerings to include retirement annuities, long-term care insurance, and disability income insurance. Your faith can inspire your financial decisions. Terms and conditions apply. You can learn more by calling Chris Stark at 844-656-1492.
Hi, this is Dave Palmer. We are into car raffle season 2025. I want to thank everybody who has already purchased tickets for a chance to win the 2025 Mercedes-Benz GLB 250 on Friday morning, February 21st. And if you have not yet bought your tickets, please go to grnonline.com/raffle and you can purchase yours. And if you really want to be a big help, please email me and offer to sell tickets to your friends or family. Just tell me how many tickets you'd like to sell. Email me, davepalmer@grnonline.com. Thank you for your support.
Have you ever heard an aviation emergency on the news? You hear the pilot and ATC talking, but what do you miss? The pilot asking their aircraft dispatcher what they should say on the radio to sound cool. Aircraft dispatchers are the problem solvers working at the airline's operations center. My wife and I run Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center in Farmers Branch. Thanks to the amazing program here at the GRN, we have become Catholic and now sponsors of this great station.
All men are invited to the Catholic Brothers for Christ's 2025 Spring Men's Faith Event. The Men's Faith Event, Be a Man of Joy in a Broken World, will be held on Saturday, March 1st from 7:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church in Keller. Headline speakers include Chris Stefanik, Father Leo Padalinghug, and Kevin Matthews. This event will offer practical insights and spiritual guidance for navigating life's struggles with a renewed sense of purpose. For more information or to register, visit CatholicBrothersForChrist.com.
St. Joseph is the patron saint of the home and family. At My Mutual Mortgage of Grapevine, we support the Guadalupe Radio's network's mission of honoring and supporting home and family as longtime sponsors of KATH 910 AM. We're Bob and Norma Duane, owners of My Mutual Mortgage of Grapevine. We would be honored to speak with you about all your mortgage needs. We can be reached at 817-527-3166. That's 817-527-3166. We are an equal housing lender, NMLS 265303.
We are back. This is the Good News Show, and today is January 27th. It's Monday. We're halfway through. Great to speak to the deacons' wives, and now we get to talk about Whole Life Authentic Care. And if you go to their website, wholelifeac.com, you'll find a whole lot of information, also information about the staff. And I have with me the founder and president, Nicole Haverla, along with her director of development, Kara Moan, who are both in studio with me. And I just want to read the quick paragraph that you'll find under our approach when you go to that website. It says, we are the premier full-service medical clinic in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, providing restorative care for women, men, and children. Our world-class clinic honors the sanctity of life, respects the dignity of the whole person, and serves entire families. In short, we put people over profit. Let us help you with what we're good at, family medicine, OBGYN, NAPRO technology, pediatrics, and fertility education. And so, as I mentioned a couple of times already, what a blessing to have this right here in North Texas. So welcome to both of you, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, meeting Kara for the first time. She's on our committee for our Fishers of Men event in Fort Worth, and so that's coming up in the fall. So great to have you. And Nicole, on the website, visionary founder and president of Whole Life Authentic Care. So I want to speak to the person who's hearing about Whole Life for the first time. Yeah, because I know this has been a long time.
10 years.
10 years. And officially opened up in 2019. So
yeah,
I know this was almost kind of a personal thing with you and your husband, George, that you were looking for a service that wasn't here. And you're like, I'll go ahead and start it, right?
Right. So George and I did natural family planning classes through St. Michael's in Bedford. We charted the Creighton model. And due to the Creighton model being very medically based, we could tell that there was something wrong with my cycles and that we would have trouble carrying babies to full term. And because of that knowledge and information, we could activate. And we went to Omaha, Nebraska in September of 08, had surgery for endometriosis by Dr. Hilgers, came back home, conceived our first daughter, Claire, 15 years ago, carried her to full term, and I need progesterone support for my babies that I don't make enough regularly. And that was the care that I received long distance from Omaha. But as a Creighton model practitioner and teaching women about their cycles in the area, it was extremely frustrating that everyone had to leave our area to find a NAPRO technology.
To a smaller metroplex.
Yes,
You're leaving a big metroplex going to a smaller
place. Yes, back then in 08, yes.
Yeah.
But even now, you'd go to Houston because Houston had four or five of these doctors, or you'd go to Austin.
But nothing in North Texas.
Nothing in North Texas that was NAPRO technology certified and being able to offer those services with a practitioner. And if you'll remember, it was in 2014, I came into your studio here with Gavin Putoff because we wanted to hire doctors and bring them into DFW. Mm-hmm. And Gavin Putoff came. We did a radio interview with him about why he wanted to come back to Texas to practice medicine, and we were going to need to build him a clinic. So that was the seed that was planted because I felt there was just an injustice that others possibly couldn't access the healthcare that I could so easily go to Omaha.
And clearly, it's one thing to see this need and have the frustration, but you have to bring a lot of skills to this to be able to start something like this. I mean, it's a 6,000 square foot facility right now and growing. And we're going to bring Kara into the conversation in a moment as well and talk about some of the people that you want to hire. But this is really a skill set that clearly you had. What did it take? take to start something like this, other than a lot of prayer?
Yeah, well, so a lot of prayer and just a lot of faith and just being able to step out, because I felt others should have the same advantages that George and I had. And so my background is business. I've worked in nonprofit and commercial business. And I sat down at Panera back in 2014 and wrote a business plan. Mm. And Mandy Cox and I sat down a few weeks later and decided, well, what will we call this place that we're going to? She's my co-founder. What would we call this place? And just took one step in front of the other, in front of the other, until here we are today.
It's a good name because it really speaks. So how did you come up with that name, Whole Life Authentic Care?
It was totally guided by God. We sat there at Starbucks and had sticky notes up on the wall. And at one time it was Pure Life, and we're like, no, that's a water company. It can't be Pure Life.
Sparkling water.
That's right. And so we just evolved over, I would just say, all of it has been guided by God. Everyone looks and says, look what you've created. There's this 6,000 square foot clinic with option to even expand right now into 700 square feet. That we just, every day, I think we don't get scared. We take a step in faith. We reach out to mentors. If we're not quitting, we're winning. Mm-hmm. And so all the struggle and everything along the way.
I like that. If you're not quitting, you're winning.
You're winning, yeah. Yes. And there's been times where I've been very nervous to speak in front of parishes or be able to engage people I didn't know about the effort. And one day I had a vision sitting ready to talk at St. Maria Goretti's of all these little moments along our life prepare us for what we're going to need to do.
Yeah.
And to not be nervous, because he has prepared us to step out in some of these situations of faith.
Yeah. One more question before we introduce Kara and as your development director and that and why that need was there in the first place and how you came across her is some people may think, you know, it's hard to do medicine and be faithful to Catholic teaching. And maybe some people may say it's impossible. You're not going to have any clients. You're not going to get any doctors. Nobody can do this. It's too ideal.
Right.
But you're proving that that's not the case.
No. And I think we fail our families. We fail when we don't talk about this openly out there. Like, it is scary. It is hard to go into medicine and to see the contraceptive mentality and to think you have to do that. But perhaps you do have to do that if you work for a big healthcare system. You do have to do what the boss says versus private practice. But then you're nervous because if you open private practice, will they come? Whole Life has served over 5,000 patients since we opened. We're having to turn people away right now because we need more physicians to step in faith into that role to be able to work with patients who don't want contraception.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's family med who can be caught up in prescribing contraception also, or OBGYN and prescribing contraception, private practice that's not owned by anybody, but a board that says we will faithfully follow the church in the teaching of healthcare is what Whole Life offers. And there's a few clinics around the country that do that.
Yes. And what you're doing takes a lot of money, and you got to raise funds. And so tell us the circumstances that came about and why Kara was hired. And I love the bio. I'm just going to read a part of this on the website, which, by the way, as I mentioned, wholelifeac.com. We're talking about Whole Life Authentic Care, offering family medicine and OBGYN care. They're located 1000 Bonnie Bray Avenue in Fort Worth, 76111. And Kara comes to Whole Life after many years at a political advocacy organization, which she helped build. And she's the token staff member from up north. She studied at Northern Illinois University. And she says God has a sense of humor because the only medical training she has was one in a medical terminology class. And so you've got a learning curve, but you're not part of the medical team. You're part of the fundraising team.
Correct.
And the development, right? So
Correct.
You're right up, you're in your lane, aren't you?
I am, but there's also a lot of medicine that happens at the clinic. And to be able to sit in front of people and explain to them why we need help, why we need funds, takes a bit of knowledge about how medicine, insurance, everything works.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a learning curve for sure.
And how did you and Nicole connect?
Well, we had a mutual connection. I was working with a coach who I think you know, Kevin Fitzpatrick. And he was a friend of Nicole's, and Nicole put a LinkedIn ad out looking for some development help. And so Kevin reached out to me and said, hey, I think you'd be really good at this. And I was kind of, I don't know, I had a bunch of different offers or options. And as I was listening to Kevin, I was like, you know what? Nicole sounds awesome. Like, just put me in touch with her. And we talked on the phone.
Friends or all hired.
We talked on the phone, and 30 minutes later, we were like friends. Yes. So it was super fun.
Right.
Because that's kind of the way God.
5 years in, 5,000 patients plus, I was doing all of the development. Mm-hmm. We had a donor a year ago say, you can't keep doing all of it. Let me help you and sponsor a development director for you. But then I thought, oh my gosh, how can I fill those shoes? And so then I reached out to the network of Faithful through a LinkedIn and tagging them. And that's when Kevin activated.
Oh, cool. Do you feel, Nicole, like enough people both in North Texas and even beyond know about you? Is there still a, hey, we're here? Obviously, the clients know you're there, but from a fundraising and awareness standpoint, do you feel like it's the word has gotten out?
The word has gotten out, but the story of being able to tell, how do we expand? We need funds to be able to expand, to serve more. We have a wait list right now. And so being able to tell that story and have Kara activate that way, to be able to explain, why does a doctor office need money from those original donors that understood why we're raising money to be able to build something like this, of Kara being able to be out there telling it.
Yeah.
Respectfully, I don't think that the story, or even enough people in North Texas, know about Whole Life. I've been here in North Texas for 4 going on 5 years. I had no idea that it existed. And I'm the prime candidate for a place like Whole Life. So that's part of my job, is I want to be able to shout from the rooftops the good work that Whole Life is doing, and why every faithful Catholic, or even just holistically minded person, man or woman or child, should be interested in coming to Whole Life.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that, as I was reading that paragraph about approach, I think a lot of people think a place like Whole Life Authentic Care is only going to be for women, OBGYNs, but it's really across the board. This is a family practice.
Yeah, it's a multi-specialty.
Yes,
multi-specialty within the lanes of family med, pediatric, and OBGYN. In fact, right now we have a new physician coming on. Dr. Weiss will be joining us in March as family medicine. And a pediatric nurse practitioner, Melissa.
They're already on the website, aren't they?
Yes. So their schedules are opening in March.
Okay. So what other staff members do you need, or who you're looking for more doctors? And I know that you would like to expand that search to people nationwide. I'm guessing there are people in other parts of the country, maybe even more bluish states, that would love to come to a place like this. They maybe not even know you exist, and that's who you want. They're dying for being able to practice their practice authentically Catholic
and not be afraid
and not have to put their conscience, hang their conscience on the mat,
or walk that gray line where you're like, this is how I was taught, I'm really unsure. Do women want this? I'm here to say yes, they want this. They're coming from Amarillo, Lubbock for this.
Yeah.
They definitely want it. So anyone listening right now that maybe even has a sister, a nephew, a niece that is somewhere else that is in an OBGYN, and we could hire 2 OBs tomorrow at Whole Life. That is the success from even the quiet success, which of course is, again, getting back to Karen and fundraising, the long-term strategic plan for Whole Life was never to rise and fall on one physician. It's to be able to serve the North Texas area. Because, Dave, can you name the Catholic healthcare system that serves the North Texas area?
Well, there's Christus, but they're not even here.
They're not here.
Their offices are here in Irving, but they don't have any hospitals in North Texas, which is kind of ironic.
We're not their market. They're more rural, right? Yeah. We're not. But if you go to Houston or Austin or San Antonio, they've got Catholic healthcare systems there. Mm. And we don't here. And so we have people driving from McKinney over to Whole Life to be able to have their baby with us, versus let's think strategy on satellite offices across the area where the Fort Worth office is the home base.
That's the future?
That's the future. Yeah. Because who wants to reinvent the wheel every single time? Mm-hmm. The last 10 years of what it took to get this off of the ground, you don't want to redo that again. And so being able to provide that for the...
So where would you, if you could open up a satellite office tomorrow, what city would you want to be in?
Oh, I would probably go North Dallas for it. We're being asked for Wichita Falls also. But right now, if we were to pull the demographic from the Whole Life database right now, would be the North Dallas area.
Yeah. My guest is Nicole Haverla, president, along with her director of development, Kara Moan, of Whole Life Authentic Care, offering family medicine and OBGYN care. Very innovative, very unique, and you can find out more about them, wholelifeac.com, wholelifeac.com. And what is your relationship with the NAPRO technology? As you mentioned that you were traveling to Omaha, Dr. Hilger's, and the John Paul, Pope Paul VI Institute. Do you have a formal a relationship with them still?
Yes. So we practice in line with how they teach and offering NAPRO technology and working with Creighton Model Fertility Care practitioners. So Stephanie Gavin is the local leader for the fertility care office. So there's relationships with Omaha to be able to keep in line with what is taught up there. Mm-hmm. And we're consistently interviewing surgeons that are coming out of that program up there to be able to provide opportunity for them here. Yeah. So in fact, I saw Dr. Hilgers this last summer at a conference in Houston and keeping them updated on what we're doing and building here.
Yeah. And is the Whole Life Authentic Care like Catholic with a capital C, like a formal relationship with the Fort Worth Diocese? And what exactly is the Catholic identity of it, and how closely associated are you with the diocese?
So we're an apostolate of the Fort Worth Diocese. So Bishop Olson knows very well what we're doing, what's going on, and he approves of all of that. But we're a separate 501c3 standalone. Okay. And in our bylaws, it says that we will practice medicine according to the Catholic Church. So we're not just serving Catholics. We're serving everyone that comes to us because we are Catholic, in line with what the church teaches regarding contraception, life issues, and being able to have staff that sign a statement of faith when they work for us.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that there's still a lot of ignorance about the church's teaching on these topics? I mean, even people that come through the door, do you have to, oh, we don't do contraception. We don't, you know, this is, we do this.
Or, no, or, you know, most people know. So that's the beauty is, like, 10 years ago, we had doctors looking for jobs and we were cultivating a patient base. Today I have 5,000 patients that want this and understand it. So I think the shift in the last 5 years is the lay understand this is good medicine, and I want to be able to find a provider that not only will see me from an OBGYN standpoint, but see my entire family. All the transgender stuff that came out, things that were kind of really hot in the medical field that were against our faith. You know, when you come to Whole Life, you're not getting any of that. Mm-hmm. We're partnering with parents on all of those topics.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are very excited about this and want to support it. So, Kara, what has been your strategy? And, you know, like you said a moment ago, a lot of people don't even know that Whole Life Authentic Care exists. And how are you, from a fundraising standpoint, getting the word out?
Well, there's one thing, too, that I want to make sure to note. And at least I would like to draw the difference between what a normal medical practice does and what Whole Life does, because I think that that's a super key point here, is that when you come to Whole Life and you have an appointment with your doctor, you're going to get the full time with your doctor, and we call that dignity of care. When you go to a normal medical clinic, you're going to be ushered in, you're put on essentially a rat wheel, you're going to get 6 minutes with your doctor, and they triple book often a doctor's one slot for every doctor. So you're not getting time with your doctor. A normal medical practice, there's huge incentives in prescribing pharmaceuticals, whether it be contraceptives, IUDs, any sort of pharmaceutical. And at Whole Life, we're not doing that. And so there's no money in that for us. So when people say, well, why does a medical clinic need a development director? Because a lot of the incentives that a normal medical clinic has, how they make their money, there's no money in a normal well visit. Mm-hmm. That there's not money in it for a medical clinic. And so they make their money through working with the pharmaceutical lobby, prescriptions and all of that. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge discrepancy between funds that are brought in, and we have so much to offer as far as offering. I mean, the church has a huge history in healthcare and dignified care, and you don't have to be Catholic to come to Whole Life. You don't have to be any religion to come and be treated with the dignity that we as Catholics would like to like treat everybody and like
just and being able
afford
we,
everybody.
We send out a miscarriage card when you have a loss. Mm-hmm. What office does that?
Yeah,
that takes time and money to do. But what office does that? That's important to us to be able to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Acknowledging the human that was lost.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's great. This is very exciting. You mentioned you would hire two OBGYNs tomorrow.
Yes.
If you could. How big do you foresee this? Where do you want to be in 5 or 10 years? The 6,000 square feet going to be big enough? Do you need to expand to something bigger?
So if being able to, if someone listening to us from a donor perspective that wants to see their donor dollars move into the future, we're actually in a 17,000 square foot building.
Oh. What's 11,000 square feet?
Whole life takes up 6,000 square feet. Being able to expand into the next 700 square feet and the next. Mm-hmm. And so being able to have Whole Life there at 1,000 Bonnie Bray continue to fill up. But again, I would envision 2 to 3 satellite offices. If the faithful in Dallas-Fort Worth want this, if we had physicians that were family med that want to be independent from the big hospital systems and OBGYNs that wanted to be independent and practice aligned with their faith, we could find them jobs. I say 2 right now because I can't take more patients at Whole Life without hiring more physicians. Mm-hmm. But the growth potential for those that are calling and asking and ramping up. I mean, how busy is Dallas-Fort Worth getting right now? How many U-Hauls do we see moving in from states?
Well, there's constant construction, expansion. You know, it's amazing. It's a very exciting
and
place.
Fort Worth is the third biggest city now in Texas.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I can't help but think in light of, you know, your background, as I mentioned, in political advocacy, if whether or not the teachings of the Catholic Church are becoming more mainstream because
absolutely.
More people, I used to say, like in politics, like an authentic Catholic cannot get elected president of the United States. I still think that's probably the case. It's mm-hmm. just we're too, you know, radical for the average person. But maybe what's happening with Whole Life Authentic Care and the popularity of it and the expansion is proof overall that the Catholic Church is kind of winning.
Right.
In a sense.
And
does that make sense?
And to be able to support us in North Texas, because if we don't expand, somebody else will come in and expand to meet mm-hmm. the need, right? That's not Catholic. Because again, we don't have a healthcare system that is supported by the Catholic faith up here.
That's the beauty of what we're doing. It's for the common good, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have to be Catholic in order to come. Just like all these different institutions have been so wokeified. You mentioned, I mean, politics, I've seen it firsthand. So a lot of these places have to just be rebuilt from the ground up. You see it with Chesterton Academies popping up all over Dallas-Fort Worth, all over the country, truly. Mm-hmm. You see that.
Yeah.
And so
mm-hmm.
that's where we're headed with medicine. If you want to be able to bring your children to see a doctor who's not going to force them or ask them questions about what gender they are or what they, you know, what they're feeling like today, are you like, you can come to Whole Life and be assured that your children will be treated in a authentically dignified way.
All right. The website is wholelifeac.com, wholelifeac.com. We've got about 2 minutes. I'm just going to let y'all, anything else that you'd like to mention before we let you go? Really appreciate you coming in. I know you're both very busy. Nicole Haverla is president and founder of Whole Life Authentic Care, director of development, Caramon here as well. They're located at 1000 Bonnie Bray Avenue in Fort Worth, 76111. Again, wholelifeac.com. And you can donate and meet the staff and, you know, find out all about their services. So, Nicole, what else? Anything else you want to mention to our listeners before we let you go?
I would say in closing, being here with you today, Dave, thank you, is that give us grace right now. I know a lot of us want this care. When we started off 5 years ago when first opened, we started off 10 years ago first building, we're doing the best we can with that. We don't want to turn anyone away. So then in turn, share that we're hiring. Share that mm-hmm. we're hiring on social media. Go to our Facebook page, share our post, reach out to us, ask us how you can help in being able to get the word out, because there's networks and areas that we're not in right now that we could share that we're hiring so that we can serve more people.
All right. Kara, last word. Anything else?
No, I
donate
thank you,
money.
Thank you so much. Well, not even that, but like I would love to give some tours of the clinic,
okay.
so people can come in and see the awesome work that we're doing.
All right. Well, thanks to both of you for being here. It's great to see you. And We appreciate also Cecil Anderson for running the board, and also our two first guests talking about what it's like to be a deacon's wife. That was a fun conversation as well. Great show, and thank you for your support, not only of all these apostolates that we talk about, but also of the GRN and the car raffle. If you want to buy car raffle tickets, grnonline.com/raffle. God bless you. We'll see you next Monday for the next Good News Show. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show.
Parents are concerned about the decline in virtue throughout society. Knowing that virtue is the pathway to heaven, many parents have discovered a Catholic school addressing these concerns while providing a Christ-centered, academically rich education unique to the Dallas area. Mount St. Michael Catholic School cultivates virtue while preparing students to engage the culture. Contact the school to learn more at 214-337-0244 or visit our website, msmcatholic.org, to learn more about this hidden gem, a sponsor of the GRN.
Holy Family Catholic Academy is hosting their annual gala. This unforgettable evening at the Denim and Diamonds Gala will take place on Saturday, March 1st from 6 to 11 p.m. at the Hackberry Creek Country Club in Irving. All proceeds benefit the creation of the school's STEM lab. Your support inspires the next generation of thinkers, creators, and leaders. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit Holy Family Catholic Academy's website at hfca-irving.org. That's